The Heat, Steelworker Lives and Legends, is a book that chronicles one of the nation's most grueling industries.
What I want people to know about steelworkers is that, first of all, we don't leave our brains at the clockhouse when we walk through that gate. And I think that people should realize that steelworkers are not stupid, that we are not just a hunk of meat that goes out there and busts their butt and sweats and dies on that steel mill, that we've got a story to tell.
Joe Gutierrez has been working in the mills for 41 years. He's also one of the writers who contributed to The Heat. Chicago Public Radio's Shirley Jihad reports.
In the unbridled and vivid stories, we learn the details of daily life in the mills. They're stories of dramatic heroism, of profound disappointment, and of the ordinary conversations and camaraderie between co-workers who've spent years standing next to each other, marking major life milestones as they work steadily on a line. Some of the stories are fierce, and some are gentle. Steelworker Gary Markley writes about a trip to the hospital after the birth of a co-worker's baby.
"You bums be careful with her," Skin said, pointing his finger at us. "Yeah, yeah," Stubby said. "Go see Mommy. We got it covered here." We formed a tight huddle around Stubby and reached out to caress the baby's tiny fingers. "Who's the baby, Stubby cooed? Are you the good baby? Are you?" "Yes, you're the good baby. Hey, she's looking at me." "She's looking at your hair, Stubby, trying to figure out if she could have more than you at birth," Frenchie said. "Stop hoarding the kids, Stubby," I said, reaching for her. I had forgotten how light babies are and how good they smell.
Jimmy Santiago Baca helped Gary Markley pen this story. Baca is an award-winning writer. He spent months with the steelworkers who attended his creative writing workshops.
It was just an amazing experience I had with these people who basically didn't have a voice in American literature.
Baca got the idea of gathering the steelworkers' stories a couple of years ago after driving through northwest Indiana one rainy night.
And we were passing this big, huge, brooding warehouse. And it kept going on and on and on and on. And I asked the woman who was hosting me what that was, and she said it was a steelworkers' plant that had been shut down.
At one time, this massive mill had 70,000 workers and lit up the horizon. Now many steel communities have been in decline. So the union and management created the Institute for Career Development to promote continuing education. The workers can take college courses, learn another trade, or take a writing class. Steelworker Gary Markley decided to pick up a pen.
"I've never really been a writer. This sort of scared me, but I thought I'm always at least smart enough to take advantage of a situation when it presents itself. So I was going to give it the one-day challenge and see what it was. I was worried that it was going to be a workshop such as, we're going to correct everything you write every day. You're going to be told you forgot a period, your paragraph's too long, you got run-on sentences, maybe you can move this here or there. And if they did, I was gone."
Markley is a third-generation steelworker. He's one of the 15 writers who contributed to the book The Heat. Many of the writers stay in touch and sometimes get together for readings to share their stories. Joe Gutierrez.
"Well, I'm going to read Hawkeye, since everybody wants to hear Hawkeye. Everybody called him Hawkeye. He was the blackest, the ugliest, and could be the meanest colored you ever met in your life. He bragged how every payday he would buy a steak, then bury it somewhere in his backyard for his dog to dig up. He said if he had to work to buy the food, that bitch would have to work to get it. He didn't want to be called Negro, Black, Afro-American, or whatever new name they came up with. He never did explain who they were, and nobody bothered to ask. He said he was colored, and that's all there was to it. Nobody argued with him, black or white. We called him anything he wanted to be called."
The first time you read something and look up and see a bunch of people shaking their head, yeah, man, you're hooked.
Writer Gary Markley.
And especially if you read something and you look up and someone's crying, that's the kind of emotional thing that just stabs you, man. You're hooked in. I mean, you know you did something. You got your message out, and that feels good.
"You have to read the book from start to finish and realize there's dignity in the dirt. There's nothing wrong with having 2-inch calluses that, by the way, I clipped them off so in case I shook your hand, it wouldn't be so rough."
Kathy Wellington Dukes is one of four women who contributed to the book The Heat. She's got a narrow, trim frame, and she's got fire. The men say she's as strong as any of them, She says she left a job wearing high-heel shoes to step into 16 feet of axle grease for twice the money. Dukes talks the way she writes, with passion and vivid description, of the dramatic backdrop and dangers of working at Bethlehem Steel.
Do you know how big a molten bucket of steel is? It's bigger than this room, and it's just like lava. And then they start to pour it, and it splashes everywhere. Run, Becky, run. Because that's what they're doing all the time. And so people cannot even fathom what... And I have to walk in front of those three buckets 100 times a day as they tip and pour. And so you spend a lot of day running. Better be ready.
Dukes is a third-generation steelworker. She wrote a story about a special brass union card she carries with her all the time. Her family has passed down the card like a powerful charm.
My father carried it for the rest of his 43 years in the mill, where he worked as a switchman on the railroad. He swore it gave him the strength in the winter when the snot froze in his nose, and in summer when the sweat trickled down the crack of his ass. He told me the card had mystical power in the hands of someone who believed in it. The card got its power from the workers who had fought and died to make the union possible.
The steelworkers say they felt the power now of writing and telling their stories. Jimmy Santiago Baca.
They just inspired me, man, to really honestly believe that language works as an anti-corrosive on the spirit. And language does what you first fall in love does to you. It suddenly alerts you to the fact that you're truly alive.
The men and women who contributed to The Heat, Steelworker Lives and Legends, say they'll keep on writing so the stories of people who work in the steel mills will be preserved and passed on. For NPR News, I'm Shirley Jihad in Chicago.